and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till on you. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be
teaching, and I think there are going to be several teachings in this, what I'm sensing from the Lord. And it's a simple title, Will You Come to Me? Will you come to me? And I'm basing these teachings from Matthew 11, chapter 11, and verses 27 to 30. 27 to 30 of Matthew 11. And here Jesus is revealing where true rest and peace and fellowship comes with the Lord. And we take it up in verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, of course, we're basing this from verse 28, where he says, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Will you come to me? That is what we're going to talk about. A very simple statement. A child can understand this, and yet we can be so blinded to it, so hindered, so that we don't experience or understand what he's saying. The Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit, the one who has come baptizing us, is always calling us, will you come to me? And that is what we're going to look at today. You see, the Christian walk before God is based on our free will. God has given each of us a free will, and we can choose and we can decide what we want to do. We have the power to choose. Now, of course, God is all power, but he has given us the power to choose. To choose whether we come to him in the context of what we're talking about, or we don't. Now, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John. Chapter 1, chapter 1 and verses 12 to 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children or sons of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, what a profound statement, particularly in verse 13, in light of what we're talking about. Will you come to me, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh? In other words, man trying to make you a Christian, religion trying to make you a Christian. No, nor of the will of men, but of God. That is why our salvation is a sovereign work of God. You didn't choose God, he chose you. And the flesh of man and all that he would try and do, and as religious as he can be, he gets nowhere, because it is the sovereign will of God in your life and my life. That is why I always regard these meetings, when we come together, that it is the sovereign will of God who's brought me here today in fellowship with him and my brothers and sisters. He has taken the initiative. He has put that desire within my heart. And some see this and some don't. And we need to pray for some of our brothers and sisters who should be here today, that God will help them and open their eyes. For the days are so short, the days are numbered. We are seeing the falling away now. This isn't the time to rest and relax and do our own thing. This is the time where God says, will you come to me? And thank God we're coming to him. And we see the signs of this. It isn't rocket science. If we love his word, we love his fellowship, we love the body of Christ, he's saying, will you come to me? This is coming to him. This is doing what he asks of us, instead of us going off and doing our own thing. And here is our choice, our power to choose. He's not forcing us. God never forces us, because he doesn't want robots. He wants us to make the right choice out of love, because he first loved us. Here it is in verse 13. It's not the will of man, but the will of God. He gave us the right to become sons of God. He made us right in Christ Jesus. He has done that, not you, not me. And it's on the basis of those who believe. Believe in his name. Comes back to faith. And our faith comes as we hear the word of God. You see, the will of God, and he has a will. God's will is perfect. So because God has a will and he chooses to do what he does, and because we are made in the image of God, he has put that freedom, that choice within us as well, that he has. Now, anything that God wills is always perfect, not defiled. It is always for his glory, his perfections. everything that he is. You see, for us, the Christian, there are two wills that come into conflict. I preached on that years back with regard to the two wills that are in conflict. It is God's will and your will. It's the same in prayer. When we come before God in prayer, what will is coming into operation? Is it thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Or is it my will, what I want to do? That is the question. Is it my will or God's will with regard to moral and ethical decisions that I'm faced with? Is it God's will or my will? You see, the deeper life is that we become one with him. And that takes your will. That is also God's will. God's will and your will is that we become one, together, in harmony, in agreement. That is the will of God. And that's why he says, will you come to me? He says this in Matthew 11. As we come to him and we take of him, we take of his rest, his peace, for he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It means that we come together and we agree. We harmonize, we are one. And when we agree, we harmonize with God and his word, we then have basis of fellowship, not only with him, but each other. That is what the body of Christ is about. The body of Christ is, I have willingly surrendered my will, that independent will, what I want to do, what I think is right. I have surrendered that to the will and revelation of Almighty God and his word. And it's on that basis, will you come to me? It's not rocket science. A child can believe this. That's why we pray in Matthew 6:10, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is being accomplished through you and me. God is building his body, the revelation of his body, through you and me. How will the world know? How will the world know that we are one? That we love one another. How will they know? Unless he builds it through you and me. And through the word that he gives us. That is why the body is. And let's turn to it. Galatians 3. This should settle it once and for all. The sovereign work that God is doing through his body, as he's restoring us in these last days, through the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, through the gifts that he has set in the body. Here it is. You know this. Galatians 3. Let's take it up from verse 26. For you are all sons, daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. That is the basis of our fellowship. And anything that goes against that, we cannot embrace it. Now, the wordings, of course, he uses here, he uses Jew or Greek. Now, you needed to live in those days of Christ and just after he was crucified, you needed to live in that environment because the Jews were strict. If you were not a Jew, you were unclean. You were a dog. That's what it meant. That's pretty insulting. Can you imagine what would happen today if that was said? Whether it was said over whites, blacks, or Asians, or whatever, you are dogs. And probably it is said. It would cause riots. How can you ever build the body of Christ? How can Christ's body ever be built with such prejudice? That's what it says there. And then about the Greeks, the philosophers, the one who boasted that they had all the knowledge, all the understanding. They had the education of its time. They had the schools. Proud they were. And if you weren't following after Hellenism, the Greeks, there was something wrong with you. So there you've got two opposing things, Jew and Greek, that the apostle uses here to state the importance of this. There's neither slave nor free. And of course, that was in those days. And of course, we know that slavery hasn't changed. It's still with us today and growing. Appalling. But he says, if you are a Christian and you are a part of me and I'm a part of you, in other words, Christ's body, then in your fellowship, there's neither slave nor free. There's not a Jew or a Greek. There's not a male or female, in the sense that the male dominates over the woman or the woman dominates over the male. In other words, control, witchcraft. That's what he's saying. There isn't such a thing in the body of Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, because he walked by faith and not by sight. And that is it. And that is why the Holy Spirit is breaking down the walls of partition that are still existing in the body of Christ, or those who call themselves the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not a white church. The body of Christ is not a black church. The body of Christ is not an Asian church, or whatever church it tries to be. That comes from denominationalism. That comes from division. That is the powers of darkness. That is why God opposes denominationalism. Because of what it breeds. That is the enemy's work to divide the body of Christ. That is why I have always spoken out against this. And I have had to go through a lot in standing against that over the years. I've had a lot of opposition against believers who think I'm wrong in this. But I have the scriptures there. And this is why I hold that the body of Christ is being restored back. All of us, whatever colour, whatever creed, we are coming back in unity and fellowship and oneness under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we embrace and we love one another with that love that God has given to us, whatever our colour, our creed, our background, or whatever. Brothers and sisters, if it doesn't start in you and me, it will never happen. It takes one match to be ignited, to set a flame, a fire in the world. And brothers and sisters, you are that match. You are that flame. And don't believe anything else what the devil tries to say. It starts with you and I. Not running away. That can never happen. It's as we remain, we stand together, united, one in him, that he brings down the powers of darkness. And he brings this down because he honors your prayers, your intercessions, and how we need to pray now with what is going on in the world, with this rise coming up. God has set the powers that be. He has set the police force that be. Yes, there is corruption. Yes, there are things that go on, but they still bring peace to our streets, to our lives. And that is the point. Do we want anarchy in our streets? Do we want to see people being beaten up and murdered even more and pillaged? Do we want to see our homes ravaged, bricks thrown through the windows, and so on? That is why I thank God in this country that we still have comparative peace and prosperity, because we pray for our governments, we pray for our leaders, we pray for the police and all of those who have these huge tasks. I only heard a report this morning that there are a lot in the police force who are deciding it's not worth it. It's not worth it policing anymore, because we're wrong. Whatever we do, we cannot get it right. Is that what we want? That is why we pray. And if they are corrupt, then we know what to do. We war in the spirit. We come against those powers and principalities. Thank God we're not like some countries. Thank God we're not like China under a communist state or whatever. We are people of peace, and we make peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the author of peace. And where there is peace, there's unity, there's fellowship, there's harmony. We make for peace. Shalom. Because that peace is put within us. And that is what he says there. Come. He's talking about, come to me, all who are laboring, all who are heavy laden, confused, battered. I will give you rest. There's that rest, that peace. We have to have that peace, that rest, if ever we are to be effective, if we are to be those soldiers, those overcomers that he's raising us up to be. That peace, that rest is essential to us because it enables us to function, to be what he wants us to be. The devil wants to rob us. He wants to take that peace away. He wants to create confusion. And when he does that, he succeeded. And what happens when there's that peace and that confusion is taken away? We all then fight one another. Because that's what it does. And that's why he keeps the body of Christ in a denominational way. Because they fight one another. Because they can't agree. And that's why you've got the ecumenical movement coming up now, headed by these false leaders and the Pope and so on. A false peace, a false hope, a false future. Jesus said, peace, 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 then sudden destruction. They preach a lie, a deception. They're like ostriches with their heads buried in the sand. You see, God won't let us do that. He has a way of stopping us from doing that. We all try and do it. It's all in our weakness. Yes, I'm even tempted to do it. But I can't run away from the truth. Because if we try and run away from the truth, we start to walk in darkness. And we cannot see the light. Because he is the light. We are the children of the light. And we walk in that light. And that light gives us harmony, fellowship with him and each other. That is the whole point. So it's thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does Psalm 103 tell us? Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 20 to 22. Psalm 103, verses 20 to 22. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word or will, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. So in the courts of heaven, all his heavenly hosts, they're all doing the will of God. And they take delight in doing his will. So it's not just with us, it's all with his hosts, his angels, his angelic beings. They're all doing his will, busy there, doing the will of God in heaven. That's what we're going to see. When we arrive there, we're going to see all the hosts of heaven doing the will of God. How wonderful. And yet we fight against it. And why? It doesn't make sense, does it? You see, Satan and his fallen angels oppose God's will. That's why he fell from heaven, and a third of them. They opposed the will of God. He thought he could will over God's will and be God. The most foolish thing you could ever do. And look what happened. That's why rebellion took place first in heaven, before creation, before man was created. That's why in the world today, through sin, Adam falling, we find that the world doesn't want to do the will of God. An infant, a child, doesn't want to do the will of God. Adults don't want to do the will of God. Governments, those in authority, don't want to do the will of God. Commerce, industry, doesn't want to do the will of God. Education doesn't want to do the will of God. Science, medical science, technology, I can just go on. None of them want to do the will of God. It's not in them. They don't savour it. They oppose it. They have an inkling. They have a conscience. They know there's a will of God. They know God has set a standard. You say to me, how do you know that? Well, turn to me with Romans 1. Here you see it. This is why God will be able to judge righteously on that day. Because man knows. You knew before you were saved, it was wrong to steal. There was something within you, you were wrong to steal something. What was that? It was the conscience. And here it is. Romans chapter 1, let's take it up from verse 18 to 28. Romans 1, 18 to 28. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So in other words, they suppress it. They try to ignore it, push it away. Because what may be known of God is manifest to them from God has shown it to them. So even creation shows us the will of God. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They know, you knew. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So in other words, because that conscience that they choose to ignore and keep ignoring, they fall further and further into darkness. And that's what would have happened to you and me had it not been for the mercy of God to intervene. Professing to be wise, they become foolish. Oh, you've got so many out there, all think they've got the answers, the wisdom and everything. And yet they become even more foolish. And change the glory of the corruptible God into an image made like corruptible men. In other words, they start to glorify man instead of God. The birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In other words, they start even to worship God's creation. Idolatry, paganism. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of the heart, to dishonour their bodies among themselves. That's so prevalent today, what people are doing. Dishonouring their bodies. Who exchange the truth of God for the lie. And worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts for one another, for another man, with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. All relationships are all confused today. They don't know who they love anymore. So anyone who shows me any love, whether it's a man or a woman or my same sex, I'll go for it. There's the utter confusion. It's so prevalent. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. And so it goes on. It actually just gets worse and worse. All that we see today, prevalent, that's happening before our very eyes. Why? Because man doesn't want to come to me, that he asks. What he says in Matthew 11, come to me, all that are heavy laden, that have lost your peace, lost your way. Just simply come and I'll put it right. So simple that a child could understand. And yet we don't. Why is it we refuse to come to him? That is the question. I've asked that one myself. Why is it I did this and I didn't come to you? What was it that caused that in me? Why was I so blind, so selfish, so stupid? Well, thank God we're a work in progress. Thank God that gift Well, repentance is there to come back and to allow the blood of the Lamb to cleanse and to heal. That's the mercy of God. That's why, brothers and sisters, I make so much of Philippians 2. You hear me quoting it week after week almost. Philippians 2, 13, 12, 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Oh, what a verse. What hope. I thank God for that, because I know I can be so willful, stubborn. And the only way willfulness, stubbornness can be detonated is by obeying. That's what destroys it. You know, God's going to give us such a heart, such an affection to obey. He will. You will be blessed to do it. You'll be jealous to do it. You'll want to do it. Because that is what pleases the Father's heart. If you want to know the Father's heart and the heartbeat of his heart and the love of his heart towards you, you obey him and you'll know it. He'll reveal it to you. Trust me. That is why it's always for the overcomer, the will of God. And that's why we're dealing with the with God's omnipotence. This is what I'm really talking about theologically. It's God's omnipotence. This is one of his attributes, which means he is all powerful. Not just powerful, all powerful. It's what enables him to do whatever he wills and to accomplish. He doesn't ask our permission. He doesn't ask anybody. He knows what to do. His omnipotence is clearly related to his sovereignty. You see, all of God's activities is according to his own will, according to his own purpose. He says in Ephesians 1, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose or the will of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. That's what he says in Ephesians 1:11. He says in Jeremiah 32, "Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." That's what Jeremiah says. How about Psalm 115? "He has done whatsoever he hath pleased." He has done. There is his will. And he has given you the power to choose. He's given you that right to choose whether you want to trust and obey him or not. And yet he says, doesn't he, in Philippians, he'll work that in you if you want that. He'll work that in you to make that right choice, that right will for his glory. So he even helps us. You see, when the scriptures say that nothing is impossible with God, we've got to understand that God's power doesn't include just him being contradictory to what he says. No. You see, God cannot, for example, create a stone too heavy for him to be able to lift. He can't create anything that he can't control, that's too heavy for him or he can't work out, else he wouldn't be God. Everything he has created, the heavens, everything, his creation in heaven, he can control and does control. Else he wouldn't be God. You see, God's omnipotence isn't just the physical power. It's infinitely more than that. It's the ability to do all that he wills to do. Whether it is to that which is created in the world or something out of nothing. He created out of nothing. He spoke the word and creation came into being. There is the will of God. Read that in Hebrews 11. It was his will to save you, a sinner. And he provided through Jesus Christ in order to save you. There is the will of God. These are just part of his attributes. Who can know his ways? Who can search out God? His ways are so infinitely greater than us. And here we are, we're kept by the power of his Spirit. He keeps you and I from sinning, from veering off, from being deceived. Don't let's fight against it, but simply yield. That's why the deeper life in the Spirit is the absence of resistance. It's just yielding when the Spirit requires it of us. We might not always understand. It might not always be to our feelings or whatever it would be. Just do it. And you watch and you see. And then you begin to see the bigger picture. Then you begin to see what God wanted to do through your obedience, my obedience. That's why, brothers and sisters, it doesn't start with the pastor. It starts with you, with all of us. That is what body ministry is about. Nobody exalting themselves above anyone else. I can't change. I can't change my colour, my background. I am what I am. I didn't choose this. This chose me. You know, you've heard my testimony. I would have done something completely different for the Lord. But I've yielded. I've bowed the knee. I've taken on the responsibility, which isn't mine anyway, it's his. God chose this foolish, ridiculous vessel. I know at times I can be a laugh, a joke. What do you listen to that bloke for? Way off. I'm very aware. I'm very aware what people think. There's nothing new under the sun. I can only be what I am by the mercy of God, and the same with you. But does that change us if we have the love of Christ within us? No, it doesn't. We love one another because we love Jesus and we love his body. And that is one of the biggest burdens I have on my heart. I've said, Father, I want to restore your people back in loving your body. Not a denomination, not a movement or whatever. And that body is Galatians 3, 26, 29. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, you're a bond or free, black or white, Asian, whatever. It's because we love his body. And that's why when we go against that, it is a dishonor to his body. We are living a lie. It is hypocrisy. And that's why, brothers and sisters, very little is happening in these places, and in a lot of these churches, because we're being dishonest. We prefer to be with people of our own background or culture or whatever it is. We feel more relaxed, more identified. But that is of the world. That is of the flesh. We can only be identified with one another when it's our love for Jesus and our love for his body. All the rest then flows from that. That is where the body is going to be built in this last day, and is being built. It doesn't matter who the fivefold ministry is or their background, because they're called of God. They have the anointing. That's the most important thing, because that is what is going to build. That is what we need to sit under. And God, in his infinite wisdom, he decides to choose whoever he's going to choose. Let God be God, and all men liars, as the word says. Brothers and sisters, as we move forward with this, we're going to see how big this is. This, what I'm preaching to you, is what is expressed in Romans 8. It's releasing groaning creation, and how it groans. How confused it is. How in bondage it is, held by the powers of darkness, the God of this world. He is going to be brought down, and it's going to be released. Do not have that groaning in your spirit. Do not have that heart's desire. Do not feel that from your father's heart. That's what he wants you to have. That's going to make your prayers effective. That's what's going to give you a stand before Almighty God. You are your own man or woman before God. That's what I'm making you be, so that you are not dependent on anyone else or the arm of the flesh, but that you have a stand with Almighty God, and that you walk with him. If I don't preach that, then I have failed the sons of God. And that's why he says, come. Come to me. And he will do the rest. You see, if we do this with our whole heart, life and faith, then we're brought into complete harmony with him. And if we're in complete harmony with him, we're in complete harmony with each other. We're in harmony with his will. We're in harmony with his desires. We're in harmony with his vision, future, everything. We're in complete harmony, unity, oneness. And that's what the Holy Spirit now is building in the true body of Christ. That we are of one mind, one heart, one spirit, one purpose, and so on. Now that can't be done by human beings. That's impossible. But it's not by might nor by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. That's how he's doing it. And then you cease from sin. When you come to him, you cease from sin. And his life flows through you and I. Those rivers of living water flowing through us. When you really come before him, have you seen at times the stubbornness that can be in your heart and your will when you come before him? then you find you're in a wrestle. Well, praise God. That's what he wants to expose. That by coming to him, that is what he's showing. And he's showing that he can deal with that. That your will can be his will. Sometimes we don't always get it immediately. I acknowledge that. I know that in my life. But I cannot be at peace. I can't ignore it until I come before him and I talk it out with him. Sometimes I tell him, I'm afraid. There's fear there to do your will, Lord. Because if I do your will in this, I know what the consequences are going to be. But I have to stay before him and let him work that. Let him build that deliverance, build that strength in me, and to do his will. And do you know, often you find when you do his will, it's not half as bad as what you thought, because the devil's there trying to twist it and pervert it. Oh, well, if you do your will here, that's going to be the end of your marriage. Well, if you do God's will here, your boss is going to sack you, and so on. Does it sound familiar? I can't be the only one that hears that. And yet when you do the will of God, it exposes how Satan is a liar and a deceiver, which he is. So this word come then, it determines your genuineness with God. Your heart. And he uses come at the most unexpected times, sometimes in our walk with him. When you least expect it, the Spirit is saying, come, come in. Come, rest. Come, let us talk, let us agree. There's things we need to bring out into the light. Do you hear come when you are making a wrong choice or decision? Are you hearing that word come? Don't say anything. Don't do anything rash. Come. Let us come before me. Let's talk it out. Don't make a wrong move. Because you know when we make wrong moves, you know who gets in and uses it. The enemy himself. You see, when you want your own way, and we often do at times, the Spirit says, come, come on, let's talk this out. You see, you have a choice, and it's your will. And that's why, when we're willful, we're stubborn, that is when he says, just let go. Let go of it, because you hold on to that willfulness, that stubbornness, it'll destroy you. And that's why we just have to let go. And when we let go, then he says, I will give you rest. There you go. And that's what you wanted all along. You just wanted that rest. And all that fighting with God brings you nowhere. It just causes us to lose our peace, our joy. And when we let go, there it is. I will give you rest. His presence is there. His rest, his peace, his joy. That's what he's doing in our lives. That's how we walk. That's when we have to face decisions or whatever it is. Is it God's will or my will? That is always the question. And that's why you see at times the lies that can be projected, even in the house of God, where you hear Christians are suffering or going, I'm suffering for the Lord's sake, or whatever it is. It's not always genuine. They're suffering because they've gone out of the will of God. They've allowed the enemy in, and he's buffeting. And Satan's a liar. He'll let you think you're doing the will of God, but you're not. You're deceiving yourself. And what does the Spirit say? Will you come to me? And when we come to him, then all is seen. Then he brings it out into the light. He shows us, and we can get it right. Why have I stressed all this as I close now? Very simply, because this is all about God's glory. It is glorifying him, and how we need to see the glory of God restored again to the true body of Christ in these last days. And it's going to come out of humility, out of honesty, repentance, that bowing of the knee, that confessing of sin and unbelief, where we've all got it wrong. And we will then begin to see the Church of Christ rising up in the power and strength of Almighty God, not in the power and strength of man or denomination or organization. No, 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 no. Flesh and blood can't do this. This can only be the power of God for these last days. And this is going to come out of empty vessels. When we're emptied of ourselves, our ideas, our will, my trying to do it, and moving aside and allowing the Holy Spirit to build. We are the problem. We are the ones that get in the way. That is why we need to pray for the true body of Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who come into the room. Father, I pray that you will lead and guide them, that they will come to you, that they will know that deeper fellowship, that deeper commitment, their oneness that they have with you. Father, grant them that they don't depend upon the arm of the flesh, but their strength, their dependence, their all comes from you through the Holy Spirit. May they hear from you and not from man. May they experience your touch in their life and not man. Preserve and keep them, Father, from the evil one, from temptations. Keep them, Father, from all those things where the enemy tries to destroy us, deceive us. May our minds and hearts be always covered by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, above all, thank you for this meeting today. Thank you that you have made it possible. Thank you that you have brought us from near and far to come in fellowship with you and each other. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon